I think it's time for our kids' corner. So thank you all for just bouncing with us here on this. So I always ask these complicated questions, you know. By the way, I like your uniforms. Are you guys cheering for Ole? Is that your first game of the year is today? And what are you cheering for? Is it for football or soccer or football? Okay. Well, congratulations for being on the cheer team. That's really cool. So I have a hard question for you today, like I usually do. And it goes kind of like this. What do you think? Does God talk to people? Does God talk to you? Any ideas on that one? How about this? When you pray, you talk to God, right? And have you ever sat long enough that you've heard him answer back? Has that happened yet? Because I think one day, it probably will, it kind of seems to me to involve being in the right conversation, though. And I don't know, I know when I was your age, most of my prayers were for things like snow days and good grades without doing the work and, you know, sorts of things like that. But, you know, as you get older, our conversation and God's conversation begins to overlap more and more. And I think that's where conversation with God actually starts. But you've heard people say this, right? You've heard people say that, I heard from God, da-da-da-da-da, right? Or God told me, da-da-da-da-da. Have you ever heard somebody say something like that? Okay, so anyway, the conversation I want to have with the big people today is about hearing from God, and I think that it is something that we can do, and so listen up in the sermon here. Maybe you'll get some ideas, right? How's that sound? All right, I'm like striking out all over the place today, I'll tell you. Why don't we go back to our seats? And man, I can try with the bigger people. Hopefully they're a less tough audience on me. So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God's presence, as I said last week, is experienced in many different ways. And this week, I want to focus in on hearing from God. For many people, the idea that God desires to interact with them or even engage in a conversational relationship is met with skepticism. I think it might have been just up here a few minutes ago. I'm not quite sure. And personally, I can recall being skeptical too when people have claimed that God told me to do something, and usually whatever that something is doesn't even seem like something God would tell them to do. But to be clear, at least in my own experience, hearing from God occurs as part of a conversation with him in my own mind. But even this notion leaves some uncomfortable. Perhaps we're limited by our own doubt, or perhaps there are those who wonder, have they been led to expect something and they're just not experiencing it? If there's any doubt in your mind that God would communicate with people, I mean run-of-the-mill people like me or you or anyone in this room, by surrounding us with his presence and speaking into our souls, or if it just doesn't seem that God would communicate that way, or that this is something God cannot do, or even that he shouldn't do it, that he's the one with the power, and that he doesn't need us, that he's capable. I offer the following replies to these four common doubts. First, God would communicate with ordinary people. Paul, Barnabas, Elijah, they were all ordinary people just like us. Scripture documents that God communicated with them. God himself in human form, Jesus, humbled himself and in every respect was tested as we were, according to Hebrews 4:15. God is not beyond stepping down into our world, and when he did, Jesus picked the ordinary, the hurting, the poor, the ordinary to communicate with him. His disciples were ordinary fishermen. They weren't the scholars of his day. They weren't somehow more holy people. The first person Jesus revealed his messiahship to was the woman at the well. By all qualifications, not a holy person, and she wasn't even in the right territory. She was in Samaria. The gospel is general communication to every Christian. It's intended to grow in our hearts, taking control as a force in and of itself of belief that bears us up over the tribulations of life. But I believe that God communicates beyond that, answering our doubt, putting us at ease, and so much more. Secondly, God does communicate this way. God's communication with me happens when I'm at my most humble, listening, available to act, and attuned to the conversation. Look, what would happen, guys? This is a man-oriented sort of question here for a second, but what would happen if you walked into the room and your wife was telling you about her day, her experience with the kids, her experience with the situation at work? Now, I know being a man, your instinct is to fix problems, right? But everyone that's been married knows you've got to continue to listen in this conversation. And really, what she's looking for is support in the conversation, not somebody to fix the situation. But if you enter the conversation by saying, you know, I think I'm going to go ride my motorcycle now. How many of you think that's going to go well with you? You're no longer part of that conversation. You might end up in the hospital, depending on your wife's temperament, but you've now closed yourself off to that conversation. Whatever was going to come next no longer does. We do the very same thing with God. My conversation is often about the worry that I have, how I'm going to fit my schedule. It's focused on me, on money, on my fears, my desires. The conversation that God wants to have is one about my soul, about love, about service, about trust, and about faith. God is talking. The question is, are we really listening? Thirdly, God absolutely can communicate. There's nothing about our universe that places God so far away that he cannot hear our prayer. Conversation with God isn't hindered by distance, and there is no reason to believe God cannot communicate, or even that physical reality is even the only reality. In fact, the more I walk with God, the more real the spiritual seems, even sometimes, I think, more real than the physical world. God's relation to the physical world is sort of like our relation to our physical bodies. Is it anyone that doubts that our soul can communicate through our body? In the same sort of way, God is soul. He's capable of communicating sort of soul to soul with us. And fourth, God must communicate in such a way. Usually the argument that God shouldn't communicate individually goes something like this. If God communicated with each of us, his revelations would cause a sort of prophetic chaos, that we would live contrary to one another and that the church would tear apart. This, of course, is the argument that was made 500 years ago during the Reformation. Otherwise, God's communication would just be enforced conformity to his will, the contrary argument. But Christianity maintains that neither of these are true, that communication is about a leadership model. How are God's people to be led? Sheepdog or shepherd? The sheepdog forcibly drives and manages and maneuvers the sheep. The shepherd, by contrast, calmly walks ahead, calling his sheep to follow. The pastoral role, this is the pastoral role, but it requires all of us to hear from the greater shepherd. Does faith not require ongoing wisdom from above? What could require it more, actually? It's said today that there are more than 2,000 active cults within the United States, and there's a stark difference between the cult and Christ-like leadership. And it's this: cult leadership is almost always based on the idea that only one person or a select few is hearing from God, and that God doesn't speak to the ordinary member of the cult. By contrast, the glory of the church comes only from the individual's reflection of the glory of God. And this is derived from knowing God and responding to God in the world. Hearing from God has everything to do with who we think God is. And hearing from God has quite a bit to do with glorifying him and extending his kingdom. God says his word will not return void. It will accomplish his purposes. And God's word is not about dictatorial control over our lives, but rather an invitation to grow with him and serve in his kingdom. We commune with God when we align our hearts to his. We love what God loves. We care as God cares. We do as God does. Together with others in the same state of humble service, we experience his presence. It is there where we feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit into action. And we are intended to be motivated into action, not merely sit back and wait for God to do the work. We are invited into his kingdom-building process. We come with the full range of our own problems, as my service earlier demonstrates, by the way. But it's precisely because we have these problems that we are the right fit tool to reach other people in our world. Let me give this as an example. If I had a need, and I knew somebody who had $1 billion, and that fellow fulfilled my $50 need, would I have the same appreciation as I would have for someone that I know themselves has many other needs, but nonetheless stands up and fulfills my need? We are called to be those people. And in so doing, we can accomplish something that God cannot. We can show a new dimension of God's love in our world. And God is made perfect in our position. It's far more meaningful when you know that gift required sacrifice. And so I want to talk a little bit about what hearing God looks like from my experience. And most importantly, I want to point out that there is nothing at all special about me or pastors in general. Yes, by our role, we stand up here and we're to love and guide and protect and lead our congregation into deeper faith. But yet, we ourselves are mere human beings just like the rest. And I should not be anyone's connection to God, rather only their encouragement to connect with him in personal relationship. Because I'm no better suited, I don't think. I'm better suited to hear from God than anyone else. In fact, I need to constantly mind myself to stay on my own routine. Otherwise, there are times when I misprioritize what should be my time with God and cut it short. So that's an issue in my own life, too. But yet, I'm sure that God has communicated with me, and I believe that I have heard God. No, not audibly, but certainly he's joined the conversation in my mind. And I know, without a doubt, that it is him, because he's brought things into that conversation that I could never have tied together in my own mind, under my own knowledge, beyond the scope of whatever I was thinking at the time. And I want to share some of this communication just as concept. I am by no means trying to say that anything special is happening to me. I believe that this is open to us all, and I believe that many of us already know this. God has communicated with me through answering questions and removing impediments of faith and helping me ponder. Recently, I was thinking about saving beliefs and an accusation that I'd heard that God demands that we all think alike, think in a certain way, otherwise we're doomed to hell. But I believe God put it to me this way. It's not so much that you need to believe this, but rather if you choose to believe this, you're saved. It's choosing to believe what puts you into the position. And now this has left me to ponder that concept. I believe that God communicates through promptings of the Spirit, being prompted to say or do something at the time, to feed the fellow at McDonald's. I'm here today because I followed such a prompting. On my own thinking, I didn't think I was cut out for this job. I wouldn't have thought that I might be hired, but I felt so prompted to do, I applied anyway. I believe that God communicates through providing the right words. Have you ever felt that you ought to say something and you did? And that the person hearing got something out of that, out of your saying, that it had a special impact. I believe that God communicates through the provision of love to love the unlovable. I doubt that I could work with the kids that I do if there weren't an ongoing supply of love and encouragement from above. I believe that God communicates through communication about choice. I felt that I've brought before God many times what I should do, which way I should go. And usually I feel that the answer to that question goes something like this: whatever you choose, I will use you. I believe that God communicates through increased faith and for the ability to forgive the unforgivable, and through provision of confidence and trust and assurance of salvation, through letting me know that past situations are now over and it's time to move on. I believe that God has communicated as I've looked back and I've seen the past action, and I know that the right doors were opened and the wrong ones kept shut, and that the result has been a better situation than I could have imagined. And I believe that he communicates through recalled prayer. It seems to me that at a very low point in my life, I was out in my field. I used to have a rock that I sat on to pray. And I sat on that rock one day, and I was asking God, and actually almost altogether angry with God, that I wasn't getting what I wanted. And it came to me at that time in prayer that this is what you wanted. And I hadn't remembered it. I hadn't even thought about it when I had first come to faith, I had prayed that God would use me to bring others to him himself. And the message that I got that day was that these rough times, these are your testimony. It's this that brings people to me. It's not seeing you getting what you want and living the easy life. And that totally changed my perspective on the situation that I was walking through at the time. I even feel that I get ongoing revelation as to how to lead in here. In fact, in the beginning of this, in the beginning of my conversation about this message, I recall thinking and praying with God that there are many in this room that have been Christian longer than I have, and I'm sure that there are probably people that are better equipped to lead and tell this story than I am. But I felt that I was prompted to go with it anyway, and maybe the reason is to allay any fear that people have, that maybe that they're not hearing or that they ought to be hearing in some different way from God. In spite of all this, I too, though, am prone to wonder if I hear from God or will hear when I need an answer, or will the answer be timely enough? Well, you know, in the case that it's not, you'll see me fumble like I did this morning. And that should serve as a warning to us all that human leadership still needs communication with God and still requires it from the followers too. So I tell you these things in hope that you may experience them too, more fully than you already are even, and especially so if you're concerned about this, that you do not worry or question that you're able to hear from God or that he would talk to you. Thank you.